As I was saying earlier, that we're going to, each one of the elders and a soon-to-be or potential is going to share with us today and just a little bit about the Lord, how He worked in our lives and maybe brought us to where we are or how we decided to come and serve. So I'm going to go ahead and get that started and get that kicked off, and then we'll just go one at a time. We'll try not to take up too much time. I know there's six of us that are going to be speaking today. We don't want to be here. If we have 30 minutes apiece, we'll be here all afternoon, so we'll try to keep it short. So, but, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know, has anybody been watching the Chosen, or have they watched the Chosen that was on? I know Scott has shared a couple of clips from the Chosen on the screens, and if you want to be real analytical, I mean, it's not like right, you know, really tight biblically, but it I don't think it's designed that way. I think it's designed to create a conversation, to maybe spark an interest, you know, get somebody interested. And but you know, the reason why I bring that up is because I had recently been watching it again. You can actually get it on YouTube also. So, and if you have a smart TV or whatever, I don't know how smart a TV can be, but you can actually get YouTube on there and watch it on a screen. So, you know, I was watching it the other day, and one thing I noticed, and my mom and I had talked about it, she attends there in Connersville, and that we love so much about is they make Jesus, they give Him such a personable spirit about Him. I mean, when you see Him in the Chosen, He doesn't, I mean, it's not like any of the other renditions of who Jesus was were bad or anything. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm getting at is that they make Him so much more personable. I mean, he does a lot of joking around, and we just kind of forget about that. A lot of times it can be so solemn and serious because, you know, our faith is very important, and it's something we do need to concentrate and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. But He's also, He walked this earth as a man, and He felt all the things that we felt, and he laughed, and He joked, you know, and he partied. You know, what His first miracle was when He turned water to wine. And I don't know if anybody saw The Chosen in that episode, but I mean, that was His first one. And He was just kind of standing there staring at the barrels like, am I really going to do this? And the guy standing next to him was looking at Him like He's crazy. But something I said this morning is every time He did a miracle, like if He cleaned somebody, or that had leprosy, or made him hear, or gave him sight, even when He changed water to wine, at least in the depiction, and I believe that it's so. Every time, He always prayed first. He took a moment, and He'd look up and thank the Lord, thank the Father for giving Him, asking Him. He always prayed. And that was one thing, another thing that always caught me is that He prayed. But, you know, in that Chosen, the thing is that, you know, He grabbed Simon, right? He's a fisherman off the side. And in that depiction, Simon's, you know, he's knuckling it up in the ring and betting on the sides and doing all kinds of stuff that you would, somebody that was kind of crazy on the wild side of life would do. You know, and then Matthew, of course, who was hated by everybody because he was a tax guy, and he was supposedly bleeding the Israelites of all their gold and riches. Everybody disliked him, but he called them. He called them. Each one of them was one of the peoples that they would look at and say, why? Why would you do that with him? Matter of fact, the Pharisees, and the Bible tells us the Pharisees even asked him, why do you dine with sinners? Jesus said that the well do not need a doctor, right? You don't go to the doctor if you're well. Doctor doesn't come to a well person. They come to a sick person. He's here to save the world. He's here to save the sinners. And look at me. Every one of those things, every one of those guys, I mean, you could probably say, I'm a wretched sinner. Terrible. Some have heard some of my testimony, and I'm going to get around a little bit to why I'm in eldership, but Jesus Christ saved my life. I mean, you know, maybe it's a cliche thing. A lot of people say it, and I believe it, you know. But, as some people have heard in my prior testimony before, I mean, I played for the other team, so to speak. For the other guy. You know, I was on his team. Doing everything I could do. Alcoholic. Drugs. You know, everything, anything that you could get a charge for, almost. Not anything other than like assaults and stuff like that. But I was that far down that rabbit hole, and he saved me. He brought me out of that. I mean, that they call it that come to Jesus moment. Well, I had a couple of them, but there was the one, you know. And that was, you know, many years back. I've known Scott for probably almost 20 years, maybe even more. He was the one that kept me coming to church. I walked in with an attitude, people really didn't want to be around me. When I sat in a pew, I had all kinds of room. I had, you know, not because there wasn't anybody there, because nobody wanted to sit next to me when I first showed up. I mean, I had probably four seats this way and four seats that way. I could have took a nap if I wanted to. Nobody wanted to know, and it was because of myself. But anyway, Scott would come talk to me every day, and I got that fire. I got that fire was lit, and Jesus had grabbed a hold of my heart, and that kindling started up, and boom, there was a fire. And I was digging, and I lived right around the corner from the church we attended at the time, and I would be studying every day, and I'd find something, and I'd be like, what does that mean? I'd get in the vehicle, and I'd drive up to the church, and he at the time, he was a discipleship coordinator, and I'd say, hey, man, look at this inside the book, and, you know, and I'd ask him, and we'd sit down, we'd talk for maybe half hour, 45 minutes, I'd go home, and it'd be, you know, 35, 45 minutes later, I'd say, oh, what is that, man? I'd get in the car, drive right back up there. And so the Lord had my heart. He grabbed it. And he can do that. He can do that for anybody. When you get that drive, he will grab you and he will take you. And it is a wonderful, wonderful a feeling when he grabs your heart too. But I pledged, you know, at the time I was such a ruffian back then. I was like, Lord, you know, if you have an army that wants that fights for you, you know, knuckle, you know, I'll do that. I want to do that for you. I want to fight for you, you know. I wanted to really fight for you in a good way. And he had me do that, but he did it in a different way. He wants me to serve him. I want to serve him any way he wants me to serve. Any way he needs me to serve. And he's asked me to do it in this manner. And I feel so blessed that he has turned my life around. Turned my life around. Then when I say he saved my life, I'm not talking about just right here. I'm talking about my eternal life. Because there is a hell. There is. And I was on the way. And praise God, I'm not now. And it's because of him. And amen. Praise God. So, man, would you like to come up and share a little? So we'll have either you can come up here or they're going to may end up being down there, but each one of us is going to come up. Thank you, man.
You can't keep me off stage. Come on now.
Come on up. Come on up.
Come on down. Well, how I became an elder is, well, I was asked, but I also had a powerful story that went along with it. My wife, 20 years ago, was attacked in January. She and her mother passed away from it, and my wife was in intensive care in such a state as to be unrecognizable to me. And the brain surgeon was there, the neurologist, and he's telling me all the things they were doing, and I said, what can I do? And I was raised Christian here in this church, and then kind of wandered away. I didn't exactly put on track shoes to get away from Christianity, but I did go at a brisk walk wherever I wanted. But I thought if God really existed, then he'd be proud of me of keeping 8 out of 10 commandments. So I asked the surgeon, I said, what can I do? And he said, well, I said, can she hear me? Well, some people, and so on and so on. And I said, what about prayer? And he said, I've seen people go out of here and make it that I didn't expect to live. And I've seen others that I thought it was a simple injury and they didn't make it. He said, the only thing I can tell you for sure is that prayer doesn't hurt. So for the first time in decades, I found my knees beside my wife's bed, and I prayed to God that he would give me a miracle. And you know what? He did. So based on my story, I was asked here by our previous pastor, Tom, if I'd like to be an elder. And I said, well, okay, because he knew in my heart that I believed that God had saved Tanya. And so I started out, not because I had so much to teach, but because I had so much to learn. I wanted to learn all about God's love. I wanted to learn about the depth of love that he has. And I wanted to share that. I wanted people to know. And I tell them, I want you to know that as an elder, I may not have all the answers. I can't quote you chapter and verse, but I can look it up. I can ask others, but I'm there for you. I'm your brother. I'm there for you. And I just want you to know that. I want to reach out. When someone tells me something that's going on with them and I say, I'll pray for you, I mean right now. I'm starting right now. I don't wait to go home and try and remember somebody's name. I start running it right there. It's that important to me. I believe that God listens. And the other thing, with what I've been diagnosed with, a disease that is not really very, it's pretty mortal. But you know what? I've already cheated death. Listen to this, okay? This is from 11, 24 through 27, and Lazarus has died. And Jesus gets back late. He's not able to save Lazarus. So this is previous to him raising Lazarus. But Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She went out then and proclaimed to everyone the wonder of what's happened, that Christ is here. He goes on shortly in the chapter. He orders the stone to be rolled away, and he physically raises Lazarus. And she says to him, but he's been dead so many days, there's no way. But Jesus calls him out. The shortest verse in the Bible is here. He goes to Lazarus' grave, and he said, and he wept. I just want you to know that your prayers for me, the prayers for others, the prayers that are out there, I've already cheated death. I've got a disease that I've got to beat. And how important is it for you to reach out and touch just one person? You know what cancer starts as? It starts as one cell that slightly changes and goes into uncontrolled growth. And I've got to move it. Okay. So what happens is one little thing grows into another. Have you ever seen people in their lives when they needed one little thing and they wind up going down the wrong path more and more and more? We look at it today in our society. We look at it today in our churches, a lack of attendance. But you know what? Just as I found out, I spent a few days in the hospital over at IU. And I talked to people, and I don't think they were used to that. But they would say to me, well, I feel safe in the hospital, but just getting and coming to work scares me because of everything that's going on. And I would pray with them. I'd say, let's pray about that. And I pray with them. And I just want you to know that the reason I'm an elder is not because I have all the answers. I don't. I can find them out. But I'm your friend. I'm your brother. And I want you to know the power of Christ and the redeeming power of love. And we can beat death and sit with the risen Savior in his many mansions. And that's why I'm an elder. Thank you.
While Barbara is on her way up here, I just wanted to share something since he was talking about prayers. That Monday, we usually pray 9 o'clock in the morning over all the prayer requests. That has now changed. We are going to be doing that on Friday, and we invite everybody to come and join us on Friday for those the prayer requests, and they will be prayed for on that day. Thank you, Barbara. Come on.
We were asked last Sunday to speak as to what inspired us to be baptized. So I went home, and immediately I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, you know, start out this way. Write down the list of all the positions I have held in the church. And it ended up being a long list of items, of various positions of leadership that I was either elected or volunteered to do. And I've fulfilled throughout the years of my life all of those projects and positions. And I remember receiving encouragement and approval from my family and my church family. I realize now, with each step that I took, it brought me closer to God. When I came forward to accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior and to be baptized, I thought it was the right thing to do at that moment. Because I loved Jesus and it was the next step in my life. But I know the Holy Spirit moved me to be baptized. I was never sure throughout the years what God's plan was for me until this week. Now I realize that it was God's plan for me to do all these projects, and the Holy Spirit was working in me, coaxing me to fill all those positions. God chose me to serve him in all those ways to prepare me for my continued service for him. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Do you want to come up, Sue Ellen? You can stay down here if you want to, instead of coming up the stairs.
Thank you.
M-A-P-K. Does anybody know what that is? A preacher's kid. My father served this church for 25 years. In our home, before I accepted Christ as my Savior, all of the things Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. A wonderful story everyone should know. Also, when we lived in Pennsylvania, the church that Dad had, Mother or Dad would give us money for the offering. At one time, they forgot. And my sister Betty and I was sitting in the pew, and it was time for the offering plate to be coming by. Betty said, "But we don't have anything." I thought for a moment, because Mom and Dad had always taught us to give. What did I have? I had my bulletin. I tore off a piece and I gave it to her. And I tore another piece and I put that in the offering. Giving. In Titus 3, 1 and 2, remind the people to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. Do slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward one another. I hope that I can do that. I have served many things. I'm going to tell you another story that happened when Betty and I were young. We had come home from church service, and Mother had told us to go and change our clothes into play clothes. Mom and Dad was fixing lunch, and all of a sudden, thump, thump, Mother said to Dad, "You better go and see what the girls are doing." So he went up and he looked in our bedroom. I was throwing Betty down on the bed and I said a few words. She got up, threw me down on the bed and said a few words. And Dad said, "What in the world are you girls doing?" And I spoke up and I said, "Well, Dad, we're advertising." "Advertising? What do you mean?" "Well, like you did in church today. They had a baptismal service." God gives us wonderful memories. He gives us so many things to share. Dad served 25 years here. And I said, we were supposed to share and tell each other why we became an elder, is to share his love, to tell others what he has done for us. I sat in the pew here and opened up the songbook, and there in the beginning, we have those that had donated the songbooks that we sing from. Who donated the book that I opened up? Mother and Dad. Doesn't God do wonderful, blessed things? He gives us love. He gives us peace. and he gives us understanding, and he will be with us always. But we have to ask. We have to say, I'm sorry. But he will bless us all. For someday, we want to be with him, to see him face to face. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue Ellen.
My journey here began when I was a child, and I had grandparents that lived in Newcastle, and they went to a church probably, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or so away from their house. And I came from a family of seven kids, and every Saturday, my grandparents came and picked us up to make sure that we spent the night with them and that we were in church on Sunday morning. And I probably could count on one hand how many times I saw my parents in church. It wasn't because my grandmother doesn't want them there. She just couldn't get them there. But she wanted to make sure that we all got there. My grandfather worked at Chrysler. Sometimes he would go without sleep to get us and to get us to their house. And Grandma called them pallets. She'd get blankets and stuff in the living room floor. She'd put those out on the living room floor for us to sleep on. Grandpa'd go to work that night. He'd come in the morning and start kicking around saying, what's that on the floor there? And he'd always bring a box of donuts in for us. We all got ready for church. Grandma fixed biscuits, bacon, eggs, the whole Southern thing to make sure we all had something to eat before we left. Grandpa drove a big old car, and then I realized why he did. We all got in that car, and there were two ladies that went to church with them. Neither one of them drove. Neither one of them had ever been married, and we all called them the old maids. And we all fought about who had to sit by them in the car. But not only did they have all of us in the car, Grandma had done all that in the morning to get us ready. They stopped to pick them up. We went to church, came back, dropped them off, go into Grandma's. She had meal for all of us. I mean, we didn't stop at McDonald's. You know, there was fried chicken and the whole deal that she would fix for us. And I guess, you know, what I'm thinking about is that all this work that they put into making sure that we got to church. And Grandma was one of those people, and Grandpa too, if the door was open, you're there. And every Wednesday night, you did not plan anything. You were going to church at 6:00. So I used to like to go, I'd stay with them in the summer a lot of times, you know, and I enjoyed doing that. And we would have, you know, singings out there, and then have a big pitch-in thing out at the church. It was way out in the country, very old congregation. But there was a lot of youth, and it was like a family. And you were expected to call them brother and sister, because I got in trouble one time for calling one of the ladies by her name. And my grandmother said, no, her name is Sister England, and that's what you're going to call her. And, you know, it was just, we were at our house for cookies or something, and I was feeling kind of casual, so I thought, well, you know, I can do that. And no, you know, out of respect, that's what you do. I was baptized in that church, and like I said, it was like a family to me. And when we came here, Kenny's the one, I was gone one weekend, and he came to church here. And the next Sunday, we started getting ready for church, where I thought we had been going, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to go back to Milton. And I went with him that day, and we've been here ever since. Because it was like that kind of church that I went to as a child. It's like family. There's nothing that you couldn't ask someone here to do for you that they wouldn't do. And there's not anything that someone here couldn't ask me to do. I would do the same thing. And it was all because the kind of people that my grandparents were. And they put a lot of work into that and helping others as well. I mean, they hosted an orphan every year into their home for the summertime. We went to Jeffersonville. I'd go along with them. There's an orphanage there in Jeffersonville that the church has sponsored. And we went there, you know, to meet the kids. They had some kind of a festival going on. And Grandma and Grandpa lived very frugally, even though they, you know, they had the means, but they were so giving to other people that, you know, they didn't come back with any kind of big savings or anything because they wanted to help others. And thanks to my grandmother, I'm in church. And when I came here, was asked to be an elder. There's a lot of work I need to do in that role. But with support, we've had a lot of good times here. And again, it's just like one big family.
Thank you, Glenn.
Now I get to put everybody to sleep.
Come on down.
Hi, everybody. My journey started probably when I was like 6 years old. So when my parents separated, they thought they would send me to my grandma and Grandpa Jones's house, my mom's parents. And yeah, I do have a Grandpa Jones, just like the y'all version, just like him too. Well, anyways, I sit there one day, just listening to my grandpa, just yapping. One day, he picked up his Bible. So I climbed up on his lap. He started reading me a couple of verses out of it, and I wasn't really paying attention to what he was saying. I was just noticing the Bible. I said, Grandpa, you need a new Bible. I mean, his pages was literally almost coming out. Cover was gone, the back of it was gone, the binding, everything was gone. It so wore out. He generally put a couple pages back in there, closed the book. He said, Scotty, I cannot get me a new Bible. I looked at him, why? He says, this book is my love story. This is my life. If I got me a new Bible, that means I didn't start my life all over again. And I thought, okay. Never even really thought about it much about. Then about a year later, my dad got custody of me. Then I went to move in with the Z-Bell family. Then I became known as Scott Z-Bell on the carnival grounds, King Corn Dog Maker and all that. But there's more to it than that. I noticed that I had family members that was doing bad things, getting into drugs, stealing, disrespecting who knows whoever, elderly, disabled people. Well, I couldn't do that. Every time I thought what they was doing, I'd have three voices tell me, no, you be yourself. You be kind, you be caring, you be sensitive, you be helpful. And a lot of times, yeah, you get in trouble, but sometimes flirting a little bit, like my Grandpa Jones did. It turned out my Grandpa Z-Bell did the same thing too. So I kind of took those three voices in my head. First one was God, second was Jesus, and the third one was my Grandpa Jones. Every time I get a little mischief in my head, I would hear those three voices. So I changed that around. So I want to thank God for giving the idea to my mom, my dad, to send me to my grandma, Grandpa Jones for about a year, where I learned to go to church, where I learned to accept people for who they are, enjoy them, enjoy their lives, be part of their lives. When I started joining this church about 20-some years ago, it felt like home to me. Every time I put my foot on the front step up there, it feels like all my troubles for the whole week is gone. It's a sign of relief. It's a sign of breath. I love it. That's why I keep coming back here. Then it got to the point where I started falling in love with everybody here. And you guys are family. I have more than just Cindy, Dustin, Rich and Connie, and everybody else in my life. I got everybody here. But I would have never met you if it hadn't been for God to put me on the right path, sending me to my grandparents, my grandma, Grandpa Jones, and who I miss dearly, severely. But then I started realizing that my book is actually probably going to be bigger than this one. Not going to be as loved as this one, but it's going to be bigger. It won't be any better. He's going to have a longer story. And I'm fine with that. I'm going to enjoy it. When I've been asked for about 2 years ago to become an elder, it took me all this time to think about it. I've had a lot of inspirations. Jan is a big influence. Malin, Kenny up here, and the ladies down there, and Reed. About everybody I come to, I can't forget Charlie. He's a big influence to me, too. I love everybody here. I do what I do. I have fun. I try to get along with everybody. I try to support everybody as best as I can, do what I can. I don't want to be perfect. I can't be perfect. I got to be me. Goofy, lovable, kind. Sometimes I get too stupid on things, but thanks. That's where the Corn Dog King comes in and it. But I'm at the point now where I can start slowing myself down and doing other things, and I can actually start doing other things that I enjoy doing too, instead of having to work hard. So I just want to say I love you guys. I love God more than anybody could realize. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. All right. Well, fortunately, I get to say the last little bit, even though I shared a little bit earlier. But I just think it's fantastic that, you know, we get to hear some of the elders share. And it's really, I think it's really important for everybody to know that we are available to you. Our numbers are on the back. Every time there's a bulletin put out, our numbers are on the back. So if you call and you can't get a hold of Scott, or if you don't even need to go to Scott, you can go to one of us. If you're in a position that you need prayer or something along those lines, please call upon us. That's why our numbers are on the back. We're here for you too. I wanted to share something real quick out of the Bible. Out of 1 Corinthians 5. Because, you know, Jesus Christ has done so much, and, you know, we know the stories. We know all the miracles that he's done, and what he's done for each of us. We each one have a wonderful story, have been able to share it. But he's right here with us, and we say that all the time, but we know the Word, the Bible is the Word. And, you know, for me anyways, if it's in the Bible, it's so. And he's all around us. And in 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 3, it says, "Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. And I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present." So, I mean, if that don't tell you and get you start feeling good that he's right around you, because when we're laughing and we're joking, he's right there with us, laughing and joking. And so thank you guys for sharing. That was that was fantastic. And so we're going to go ahead and go with our closing hymn. And our closing hymn will be on 661, Rescuing the perishing. Oh, yeah, I forgot about John. Well, if you can, if you want to. Everybody's up here. Hold on, Dave. Dave, hold on a second. John's going to share a little bit.
Well, I'm not a speaker, and I guess Kenny knows that because he's going to leave me out. I'm not a speaker, but I am a believer, and that's the main part. My wife, she's always bailing me out on things, and I was trying to think of what to talk about or to say, and she gave me this. It's by Rick Warren, and this kind of goes along with what's going on today. It's called Spiritual Growth is a Lifelong Journey. This will continue until we are mature, just as Christ is, and we will be completely like Him. Becoming like Christ is a long, slow process of growth. Spiritual maturity is neither instant nor automatic. It's gradual and progressive. Paul said, this will continue until we are mature as Christ is, and we will be completely like Him. You are a work in progress. Your spiritual transformation, developing in character of Jesus, will take the rest of your life. And even when it won't be completed here on earth, it will only be finished when you get to heaven or when Jesus returns. At that point, any unfinished work on your character will be wrapped up. The Bible says that when you're finally able to see Jesus perfectly, you'll become perfect like Him. We are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that He will be like Him, and for He will see Him as He really is. Many Christians become confused because they ignore the simple truth. God is far more interested in building your character than He is in anything else. People worry when God seems silent on specific issues such as what career I should choose. The truth is there is many different careers that could be in God's will for your life. What God cares about most is whatever you do it in a Christ-like manner. God is far more interested in you than you are in what you do. We are human beings, not human doings. God is much more concerned about your character than your career, because you will take your character into eternity, not your career. God's purpose is to make you like Him before He takes you to heaven. Becoming like Jesus is your greatest privilege, your immediate responsibility, and your ultimate destiny. When I read that, I had a song come to mind. I'm always thinking of the old songs because a lot of the old songs have a message in them far more greater than can be preached behind my pulpit. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Would you like to, Jan? All right.
I won't take long because I know time is running short here. But I just want to tell you, Dorothy and I, we transferred from another church to this church. In the other church, I served as an elder for quite a few years. And I didn't think much about serving as an elder here. And one night in the Gideons, Herman de Granroot, Rosalie's husband, and I went to a cabinet meeting up at Hagerstown. And Herman and I had a lot in common. He was a farmer, I was a farmer, and we both loved to serve the Lord. And on the way home, coming over 70 there, Herman said to me, he said, Jan Horton ought to be an elder in the Milton Christian Church. And I said, Herman, you have plenty of good elders. You don't need me. And the next morning, Rosalie called and said that Herman had passed away and asked me to come down and put his tractor back in the barn, which I did. And I thought about that. Was that God trying to reach me through Herman? And I believe that it was. We never know what God or how God reaches us or how He uses us. And let me tell you, we elders are never above you. God loves all of us. God put us all on the same order and all. And He just uses us to serve in this capacity. And God loves each one of you very, very much. And never forget that.
Amen. Thank you. If anybody needs prayer or would like to pray, I'll be down here to pray with. And David, I think we can go ahead and go with that song.